what a joy to know forgiveness of sins. You know, that's one of the greatest blessings we have as those who follow and believe in Jesus. You know, many people have not a real, true sense of peace, of knowing the sins are forgiven. But Jesus offers that, amen, through his sacrifice, through his, you know, giving his life to deal with the things that would be, as they were, a curse. So I want to just thank God for that. You know, I want to go back to the topic we're on, and we're going to just talk about this maybe in a kind of a way that is connected with the message. I know that I'm looking at the clock and I'm saying, okay, no, you only got so much time here. But that's all right, because I really believe the Lord has already did a sermon here. You know, there's been a great sermon already that the Lord gave to the testimonies. Amen. But I really felt in my spirit that I want to go back to this topic we've been on for the last few weeks when I've been preaching. And the topic is, what is the essence of this community that God has raised called a New Covenant Church? We talked about, and how can I be actively a part of that church? What does it mean to be a part of this thing called church? It's not just physical. It is physical, but it's more than that. It's not just geographical. It's more than that. It's not just a building. It's more than that. We've been talking about that. Because when Peter gave that confession, when Jesus said, who am I? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember that in Matthew 16? Do I need to go back to that for a minute? Probably some of you are looking at me like, oh, what's he talking about? So Peter made the statement. When people are asking, who is Jesus? Some people say this, some people say that. And Jesus says, Peter, who do you say I am? Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, or gates of Hades, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I want you to think of this. We've been on this topic for a few weeks. But I want to just sort of, there's so much more. I could preach a whole lot longer on this topic because it's just so rich. And I'm asking God about it. So, Lord, am I still to continue to talk about this because it's so rich? It's really important because why do we even gather? By and large, Jesus, God, has redeemed a community, redeemed a people. I'll use that word, it's better. Redeemed a people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You know, sometimes people think the Christian faith is a white faith. Christian faith is a Western faith. How many heard that before? Guess what? It didn't begin in the West. It began in Jerusalem. Christian faith isn't the white faith. It's not a Western faith. Even though when the spread of the good news went into the world, it penetrated. First place it penetrated was Asia, in Middle East and Asia, and then into Africa, Northern Africa, and other places. It just spread in Europe and other places. It just went. The message just went, and it changed lives. Now listen, the way it worked is that when the message was embraced and received that Jesus is life-changing, that Jesus, you know, I can receive all the benefits, and we just read about those benefits in Psalm 103, forgiveness of sins and healing and just so many more blessings. He crowns my life with loving kindness. He is with me. He's for me. He just amazing blessings. What happens is we not only receive those blessings personally, but those blessings have a power to change me, my household, how many of you know when people came to know Jesus, many times in the book of Acts, it was the person and their household. I want to ask you this question. When you think of the household, what do you think about? Okay, parent, children. How many know it included business? Included servants as well? I want you to think of this. I have a reason for this. Because when the faith touched their life, it impacted every part of their life. Included the ground in which they... So what happened, and that's what I want to talk about, because what Jesus is saying, he's saying, you, Peter, are making a confession. And your confession is that this thing called the church is coming, and you are able now to call heaven down to earth. You're able to shut the things down. You're able, by the presence and the power of God, actively engaged through you, through this relationship, to engage heaven. To engage the things of God and to call them down. And you're able, by the presence and the power of God, shut hell up. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? Shut hell up. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. So where's hell speaking to you? Where's hell raising its voice to you today? Do you know what I'm talking about? What I'm talking about, where is it in your life there's destruction? I'm going to ask a question. Where is your life is the curse being shoved in your face? The effects of the curse. What is the effects of the curse? Sickness. Right? That's the effects of curse. Disease. Depression. Mental illness. Affliction. The devil having his freedom to kick me around and kick my family around and walk all over me. Where is the effects of the curse? Poverty. Injustice. Come on, Hurt. Are you with me? Where's the effects of the curse around you? How is it touching you today? You and I, as the people of God, as the church, have authority to bind the things, to shut them up. That's what it means, to close them up. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus' purpose for coming was to give life and life to the abundance, or full life. Jesus comes to bear this is what, getting back to this. Jesus has come to take the sickness, the sin, the curse upon himself, even undeserved, because he didn't deserve it. So by the death of the cross, he became a curse for us. How many know the Bible says that? He became a curse for us. To a point where he would feel, listen, to a point where Jesus would be on the cross, on that cross, and he would make a statement saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let me tell you something. He was never forsaken by God. Did you hear that? But he felt it. He felt the pain and the separation that sin would bring upon, that has brought upon us. He knew full well that he was embraced by the Father. Next statement he says is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But the feeling of it, the sense of it, the weight of it, he felt it. Why? So he could stomp on the head of the devil. I love that picture in the Garden of Gethsemane. The serpent. How many watched the movie The Passion? Mel Gibson movie. I thought it was one of the very graphic, very powerful movie. But I'll tell you the scene I love the most. is when the serpent is sliding around and Jesus goes, boom. Stepped on the head of that snake. Jesus has come to defeat the devil and hell and everything that goes with it. And let me tell you something. The reason we have authority to call the kingdom of heaven to earth is because Jesus has already paid for it. Amen. I want you to get this. This is so important because when we're walking out this idea of being a new covenant church and walking out with the idea of authority. Now listen, this idea of authority is not cocky, arrogant attitude. This is not prideful. This is just humility with confidence. This is a place of trust. I'm not going into a situation thinking I'm going to shove my way into that thing. I'm going to push my way. It is Christ in me who has the authority. It is He is in me. He is with me. His Spirit is upon me. And we have the privilege now of bringing heaven to earth. Now, I think the first thing is to just get a hold of that reality in a greater measure. It's a matter of, see, our mind needs to be, okay. Before we can experience transformation in my family, me and my household, follow me? Me and my household, experiencing that. Before I can experience it in my household, and before I can experience it in my town, in my village, community, or in my sphere of influence, I need to have it in my mind, personally. Transformation needs to first come into your mind. Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There needs to be a strong conviction. There needs to be a faith that's beyond just, this confidence is a conviction. This is like, you know, conviction is something stronger than just say, I believe. Conviction is something you can't shake it out of me. You cannot shake it out of me. I'm solidly convinced. Now, does that, conviction even walks on in situations that aren't yet as they should be? You know, so we're praying things that are not yet to be so that they should be that way. You know what I'm talking about. There's a verse like that, you know, or there's a thought like that. So in other words, it's like, I am convinced that this is the way. I might not see it. I might not experience it. I might not feel it, but I am convinced this is it right here. So it's that place of conviction. It's that place, you know. So when we're able to, in our own personal situation, and then in my family situation, my household situation, and then taking it further to this transformation idea is so critical, guys. Listen, salvation, which means knowing Jesus in my life. I'm so glad I know Jesus. Because I know Jesus forgives me. Amen. I have a witness in my spirit that I'm his child. Aren't you glad? Come on. I'm so glad I'm going to be in heaven one day. Aren't you glad? Who's glad here? Okay, I'm glad. So salvation is so important. But the idea coming to Jesus is the idea that my life is going to be changed. That I'm going to be conformed to in the image of Jesus. That I'm going to be transformed. That no matter what hell throws my way. Let me tell you something. None of us are excused from hell disturbing our life. We just had a testimony of how hell wanted to disturb this family. And there are many other reasons. The demons of hell and Satan and his plans and all a part of the curse that brought upon humanity wants to afflict our family, wants to afflict our household, wants to afflict whatever's going on around you. You might have your own hell. I have mine. Are you with me here? Everybody's got stuff going on, negativity. But Jesus came in the world as light to dispel darkness. So whatever darkness, whatever affliction, whatever curse that the devil, you know, has conjured up against us. But in that first primary place is to be transformed, continually being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to just say something as a side point, but very important, because I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about it because the Lord actually corrected me not long ago. Because sometimes I'm concerned about this, that many of us are illiterate of the Word of God. I'm concerned that many of us don't spend time in the truth of God. And it's interesting because sometimes people say, well, no, I can't believe how much Bible you know. Well, I'll tell you, it's a gift from God. But a lot of it I know because I put it into my mind, into my heart years ago, like 40 years ago. I started, but the Lord rebuked me, corrected me, not long ago. So you can't depend just on what you know from past. You got to get back in that word again because there's so much more. It's a book that is beyond just reading a few times and memorizing a few verses. So this past year, I've just been more diligent. I want to encourage you. How do you renew your mind? With the truth of God. So often what happens is the Word of God is an anchor. The Word of God is never changes. It'll always be the same. Yesterday, just like God's, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So things will change, circumstances will change, but His promises are yes and amen, and they're according to His truth. And that's where you'll become convinced. That's where you become a place where it's like Jesus. I love this story. Jesus says to His disciples, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side of the lake. Remember that story? Jesus said, let's go in the boat. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes down to the bottom of the boat, in the boat, and He goes, maybe He was, maybe He wasn't. But I know He was sleeping. I know He was sleeping, so that was just the best I could do. All right. Disciples, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. What's the word of the Lord to the disciples? Let's go. Okay, they're in the middle of the sea, and a storm rises up. All right. Now, they're all upset. Oh, we're going to panic. We're panicking because we're going to be destroyed. And does He not care? He's sleeping. Well, He just told you, let's go to the other side. What's His word? Let's go to the other side. But they're panicking because they're looking at the storm. They're looking at the crisis. The crisis was speaking louder than the word of the Lord. We're all human. The fact is, hey, I'm human. I have a pulse beat. And I can start looking at crisis. I can start looking at circumstances, and they'll speak louder than the truth. But that's what it means to renew your mind with the word, with the truth. My prayer today is that we will be transformed personally by the renewing of your mind. So that's number one. There's so much more to this. And the next thing is, I want my family to be transformed. I want my family to experience this life that I have. Because, now listen, which includes my workplace. I'm going to include you this way. I'm including your workplace here, okay? All right. The reason I say that, it's your sphere. It's my sphere where I hang out. 8 hours of the day, you might be at a workplace. Well, that's part of your family for that time, isn't it not? Okay, so what does that mean? You just because you got a great job at the QEH, is it? I don't know which department where you're working at. I know you said a little bit, and I got a bit of it. It'll likely be at based out of QEH. Okay. You know what? We just heard the testimony. Okay, guess what? That is a place not only for employment and not only for financial remuneration. That's a place for you to be a church. That's a place where the kingdom of God will come. How many are students here? How many students here? Listen, students, Jesus has become real to you. Life-giving reality has come into your life. When you tasted, you know, if I taste something, the other day I had the privilege of tasting Arena's dumplings? Yes. So anyways, but Rachel, Arena made these. You should try it. I said, yes. I tasted it. But you know what? I can taste it and say, yeah, it's good. Or I can taste it and say, yeah, it was so good. Try it. Rachel tasted it and said, so good. Try it. Are you following me? The reason is when we taste something and it becomes something that's real for us, we want you to try it. Isn't that true? So when we talk about Jesus, Jesus has become a reality for me. I've tasted Jesus. So I don't mind telling other people, try Jesus, because he is amazing. He's wonderful. He's good. See what I'm getting at? That's why we share Jesus, right? So you folks, you know, students, when you're in class, when you're in that place, you are, you know, when you tasted Jesus, when you experienced the kingdom of God in your life, transformation is taking place in your life. You are there to bring transformation. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I got to talk to everybody that comes and tell them about Jesus? No. Let me tell you how you do it. We're going to go to this is another message altogether, but I'm going to give it to you quickly. So turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Here's some points. Some of you are going to have to do a sermon on this. Joel, here's some points for to do a sermon later, okay? Joel's always thinking, what? It's good sermon material here. Amen? Amen? Here's some good sermon material. So Luke chapter 10, what happens is Jesus is, remember, he is appointed his disciples to go bring transformation. To bring, basically, transformation really means is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Can you just keep it simple? What's transformation? It's like wherever there's earthly realm in my mind or, you know, in my situation, I just want to bring heaven there. Come on. You follow me? Just think of it that way. Simple. How does that happen? Renewing of the mind. Okay. Now, he's appointed 12 disciples earlier. Now he's appointing 70. How many? 70. Okay. Now these 70 are going with the commission to take the kingdom of God into the community. Are you with me? So he's taking this, he appoints the 70. So in Luke chapter 10, it says, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72. Sorry, I got that wrong. 72. Should have, 72. How many? Good. Correction. Thank you. And sent them out two by two to every town where they were going. And he told them, what did he say? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask that the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. The first thing he said was pray. Remember I told you, this is a key critical passage, guys. We believe in evangelism. We believe in outreach. We want to see it happen. But I'll tell you, there's a strategy. Don't ever lose strategy. Here's a bit of a strategy that I don't want to ever lose. And Bill, I know you're taking notes. It's a good thing. First thing, prayer. Even a great evangelist, when they go into a community, you know some of the evangelists, maybe you're familiar with somebody like Billy Graham, who's been all over the world with the message of Jesus. He says, without prayer, nothing happens. Nothing happens without prayer. So because prayer is a communication with God, and we're actually inviting God, we're joining with God with his purposes. So many people, and me included, I can go ahead with my day and go ahead with the activities. It just happens that I go, and I forget to pray. And the Lord he stopped me so many times in my tracks. Hey, first of all, pray. 1 Timothy 2, first of all, pray. So prayer, so here he's saying you're going into the harvest field. Are you with me? Hey, follow me now. Now you're going to take the transformation message out. All right, what are you going to do first? Pray. Pray. Once you get the prayer down, and that's a whole message altogether. Joel, remember that first point? Prayer. We're having some fun today. Amen. All right. And then he goes on to say, ask the Lord. Go, and he says, I'm sending you like lambs amongst the wolves. Do not take a purse or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. And listen, here's the next point. When you enter into the house, okay, for you, house will be your classroom. Could be your place where you live. Okay, listen, how many of you are working now? Somewhere working. Are you working? Okay, for you, it'll be a workplace. Household is beyond your house. It's a place where you hang out most of the time. Okay? Could be your. So when you enter this place, the first thing you do is pronounce peace. Come on! Did you hear what I just said? In your spirit, the first thing you say, Lord, bless this class today. Lord, bring your peace in the situation today. You don't need to speak it out loud. Just speak it in your mind. You can speak it in your heart. You don't need to broadcast it to everybody. It's just your heart and your mind. You know that you're bringing peace in the situation. When you walk into that room where there's brokenness, when you feel the pain of a patient, just say, Lord, I'm walking in with your peace. I'm bringing it here, Lord. I'm bringing blessing. Because so often when we see a negative situation, our mind starts to engage with the negativity of that situation. Rather than saying, hey, I'm a carrier of the blessings of God. I'm a carrier of the kingdom of God. I'm a carrier of something called good news. The good news which is anointed by God will take this oppression, depression, take whatever crap's coming against me and coming against that situation and cast it to hell where it belongs. I'm human. I can be affected by those negative situations just like you. It's just that I need to be reminded. Okay, let's take it a little further. Okay, I'm going to use Sherry. Can I use your example? Sherry shared personally. Somebody's phone's going off there. Okay, we got it? Good. Amen. That's all right. So Sherry, your situation. Sherry, share your testimony. All right. Instead of saying and accepting the curse aspect of this, the negative aspect of this thing, you know what you're going to say? Lord, this is my household. I am pronouncing peace. Isn't that awesome? I'm pronouncing blessings. And what's interesting is when things are negative, the negative things are curse things. Are you following me? Sometimes there's actually spiritual curses. In some situations, we got to have a mind of the Lord. We have to discern the spirit. Maybe somebody cursed the situation. You know how many of you know there are there's witchcraft, there's evil, there's demonic activity. So people can pronounce curse over situations, right? So the first thing you're going to do is say, Lord, your peace, your presence, come in a situation here. And then he says, see, if you are able to see the situation and pronounce peace, which is the presence of God, which is the word there, you know, the word in the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you, make face shine upon you. I quoted that. And the last is, the Lord give you peace. You know what the word is in Hebrew? Shalom. That word is packed full of blessings. Everything that God has for you come to you. Prosperity, blessings, peace, everything. That's what we're doing. What we're doing, so in a negative situation, think about it now. Because a lot of time, how many of you have negative situations at work? Come on, be honest. Right, some people have said, I don't want to be at work because there's so much negativity. How about if you change your attitude, instead of letting that change you, you change that. How do you change it? With an attitude that you're a transforming agent. You're a transformer. You're a transformer. You're going to transform situations. You watch and see. Why? Because when you give peace, guess what happens? Peace comes back to you. Did you see that? Next, he said to this house, peace be to this house. If a man of peace there is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it'll return to you. So either way. So basically, don't worry about it. You're not giving away blessings for nothing. They're going to have its benefits for the people that receive it and for you as well. Amen? Regardless of whether they receive it or not. Right? All right. Next one. So, oh, Lord. Time. Okay, I'm going to give you the other 3 points. And if I come back and preach on this next week, are you okay? That just means you ought to be here, right? Okay. After the peace, when it comes to transformation, when it comes to bringing the message of Jesus into a situation, wherever that might be, in workplace, how about a neighbor? Maybe your neighbor is a nuisance. Maybe or wherever. So there could be a lot of negativity coming from there. Wherever it's coming from, if I start with pronouncing peace over that situation, right? Then the next stage in the strategy, the next step in the strategy is fellowship. How about I invite that neighbor for coffee? How about that person who's really annoying and really troublesome, I take him out for dinner, invite him to my house. What did they say here? Gee, Jesus giving us wisdom here. Wisdom to live by, right? So what's he say? So in Luke chapter 10, he says, stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. It's like, let's have a fellowship. Let's have a meal together. When you start to do that, there is something happens where God opens up the opportunity. You know, it's amazing how a time of fellowship, a time of sharing, a meal together, can give room for further communication. You know, sometimes I'm not opposed to any method anyone chooses to share the good news. Okay, by the way, did you hear that? Did you all hear that? I'm not opposed to anything, but I'll tell you something. What works best? A placard or a poster or a banner on a road that says turn or burn. Do you understand what I mean? Repent or you're going to die. How many have seen messages on the road? Maybe you think they're great, but I wonder how many really turn. What's going to work? Sitting down, sharing, listening, caring. Then the privilege comes. Step number 3. Then the privilege comes to be able to pray for that person. How many times have you made a friendship with somebody they might even know that you're a follower of Jesus. Okay, think of this. But guess what? You start, shoving it down their throat. How many like anything shoved down their throat? Anybody want something shoved down your throat? No. You know, there's a message. I don't think many people do this, by the way, but I'm just not, that's not my thing. I don't think Jesus' method was like that. There comes a time when the opening happens. The Lord opens it up. You know what happened when you start really showing your love? And even by, listen, even by doing kindness. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. How many remember that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your, say it again, good works. Because out of kindness, out of taking care of people's needs. You know, I was wishing Betty was here because I was going to use her as an example. That ministry that Betty does, that's doing good deeds. And guess what? I know for a fact that openings happen in that ministry for people for prayer. Isn't that true? Come on. I've just told about a report this week how somebody came to pray for prayer because of the kindness that was shown. Did you hear? You're gonna watch and see how the Lord opens up doors of outreach, of real evangelism. And even then, prayer could be just simply like this. You heard me talk about a story. There's a guy who fixed, older gentleman, who used to fix my motors for my boat. Remember that story? Right? And I used to take my motors to him. And this guy, you know, me, I'm always looking for opportunities, you know. And we got talking, we got conversation. He finds out I'm a pastor, right? And he lets me know right away, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. But my heart goes out to him. He's got this serious lung problem that's going to probably end up in, you know, he, you know, could die anytime. So I'm thinking, Lord, this is, you have me here for a reason. So we got talking. We share a little bit, but you know, the door's shut, right? But then I say, I believe, and I just talk about my faith. And then a few weeks later, he calls me up. He said, my wife is sick. She's got cancer. They told her, and she's not doing well. I don't believe it, but I know you do. I said, yeah, I do. I'll pray for her. Next thing I know, he calls me, and he says the wife went for a checkup. There's nothing there. I don't know what they spotted, what they didn't spot. I'm believing for a miracle. Amen. I just believe. And so next time we sit at the table, we get further in the conversation. Right? Because what? Kindness and compassion and conversation that opened the door. The Lord's going to do it. He's doing it now. Transformation is taking place. It's going to happen. And listen, it's going to happen. You're going to watch it. I know even for you teenage girls up there, because, I mean, sometimes you share your story with me, and sometimes I read it on social media, particularly, right, Aisha? So it's okay. But, you know, I can tell that your heart is to touch people's lives. And your heart is the same, Emma. You know, we all have different gifts, but the point is, that's your heart. And sometimes it's not well received, but the point is, God, all He wants you is show love, first and foremost, and respect, and not be critical and cursed. You see, God will do turn things around. We're going to see it happening. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what's going to happen? Let me tell you. When the disciples come back, this is exciting. Disciples go out and do what Jesus tells them to do, right? And they come back all excited because a lot of stuff happens. All kinds of good things happen. Miracles happen. So they're all excited to tell Jesus what's going on. And look what he says. Verse 17. This is really cool. You got to hear this. 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Why? Because we did what you told us to do. We had miracles, we had healings, we had demons leave people's lives because we walked in bringing peace. We walked in looking at the curse and not letting the curse affect us. We walked in bringing the presence and the peace of Jesus in the situation. We walked in knowing that Jesus, see, peace has power. Did you hear what I said? Peace has power. Blessing has power, amen? Maybe some of us are learning a few things today, I hope. And what did it say? Jesus replied, this is what I want you to see. Jesus replied, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. You know what Jesus is saying? I already saw that. Demons coming out of people. Guess what? I saw Satan like lightning falling from heaven. Everything is already done for you, guys. Now, by the grace of God, let's be the church. Amen. Let's, by the grace of God, be the ecclesia. Let's, by the grace of God, see transformation personally in my life, transformation in my family life. And I didn't even talk about the fact, but we're going to bring transformation into the city, into the province. But it's going to happen as we realize we are a transforming people. We're transforming agents. We're not just saved for ourselves. My dad gave testimony of this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Seven of us children, not everyone maybe outwardly confessing, but I'll tell you, I would say every one of those children, if you asked them, do you believe in Jesus? They would say yes. Grandchildren, yet not everyone, but we're believing for all. Come on, are you with me? I pray over you right now, in Jesus' name, I'm going to pray over you guys. That wherever you go, you're going to sow peace. Wherever you go, you're bringing the life and light of Jesus. You carry the love and the light of Jesus. You carry the peace of Jesus. You carry the blessings of Jesus. No matter what the enemy is throwing your way in your mind, we just bind the work of the enemy against you in Jesus' name. I speak the life and the love of Jesus that's on you is in you. The light that shines in you is going to put out the darkness around you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you're going to know, hey, if something negative is coming in your spirit, you're going to know it. You're going to reject it. You're going to renounce it. I shut the mouth of the devil over you because sometimes a curse would come out of my mouth without even knowing it. Come on. Are you with me? I say in the name of Jesus, you're going to recognize where the negative thing is coming from. And you're going to say, shut up. In the name of Jesus, you're going to say, Jesus, you're the life-giving word. Your word changes life. Your word transforms the situation, whether it's in my life or in the life of my family. Come on. I release the presence and the power. Come on. You know what I'm asking God for? To get your mind off of you. Stop navel grazing. Stop looking at yourself because you don't have the ability. Who does? Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I declare that Christ in you will rise up and you're going to say, Jesus, your authority I carry. And in heaven, and I'm going to release it for the discipling of the nations. Come on. That was my second part of the message you never even got to yet. We'll talk about it another time. I knew this would already. Thank you for giving me permission to preach what I did. He said, keep going, brother. I shut. Hallelujah. You guys are amazing. God bless you. This church is just, I just pray for you wherever, you know, wherever you are this week, that God is going to just encourage you, inspire you. As you go into that, into the Word of God. Even today, maybe some of you are going to get encouraged to read and to, you know, somebody asked me the question, I find it hard to read the Bible. Well, don't, you know, just talk to God about it, first of all. And sometimes we're doing too much. So just take a little bit at a time. Just, I pray for the Lord to give you a strategy that's good for you. I spend a lot of time driving. I have my Bible on audio. Audio. I listen more than I do read. I read a lot too, but I'm just saying is I get a lot listening. So find a strategy that works for you. Amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you, keep you, may his face shine upon you, may he lift up his countenance over you, may he be gracious to you, and may he give you shalom and put shalom out through you in Jesus' name, wherever you go. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.